Good afternoon, and welcome to St. John Lutheran Church on this, our second Advent midweek service. We give thanks to our second and third graders for their singing here this afternoon to start off our service, and their director there, Mrs. Hagen. We appreciate your time and sharing that here with us. If your guests are visiting with us here this afternoon, we extend a special greeting to you and a welcome. We're glad you're here, along with all of our members alike. And just a reminder that we do still keep track of the attendance cards, so if you'd fill one out, you can put those in the offering plates midway through our service. Lots of stuff, of course, going on throughout the month of December. You can find those announcements printed within your bulletin. We do have a meal immediately following the service down in our fellowship hall. We do have poinsettias that will be used to decorate the sanctuary for Christmas. You can fill out that form there in the pink color. And the turn-in date for that is December 16th. So just this coming Monday. So if you'd like to help decorate the sanctuary more for Christmas, then you can do so with that form. We do have our Sunday School Christmas program this coming Sunday between our two services, starting around 9:45 here in our sanctuary. We'll be going out then later that afternoon, around 3:30, starting in our fellowship hall to do some Christmas caroling. So if you'd like to join in the celebration of the season, you can do so with us as we move around our area and share the love of Christ through song. Other announcements, again, find printed within your bulletin. We worship now together using Divine Service Setting 2, beginning on page 167 in our hymnals. And we sing the first hymn, 332, Savior of the Nations, Come.
Oh,
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let us then confess our sins to God our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us, forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, for this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Stir up our hearts, O Lord, to make ready the way of your only begotten Son, that by his coming we may be enabled to serve you with pure minds. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
You may be seated. The Old Testament reading for our second Advent midweek service is from Isaiah chapter 9. But there will be no gloom for her who was in anguish. In the former time he brought into contempt the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the latter time he has made glorious the way of the sea, the land beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the nations. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them has light shone. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. of the increase of his government, and of peace there will be no end, and on the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from Titus chapter 2. For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people, training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in the present age, waiting for our blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all lawlessness and to purify for himself a people for his own possession who are zealous for good works. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We stand for the reading of the Holy Gospel.
Alleluia, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Alleluia.
The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 5th and 8th chapters.
Glory to you, O Lord.
And this was why the Jews were persecuting Jesus, because he was doing these things on the Sabbath. But Jesus answered them, "My Father is working until now, and I am working." This was why the Jews were seeking all the more to kill him, because not only was he breaking the Sabbath, but he was even calling God his own Father, making himself equal with God. The Jews answered him, "Are we not right in saying that you are a Samaritan and have a demon?" Jesus answered, "I do not have a demon, but I honor my Father, and you dishonor me. Yet I do not seek my own glory. There is one who seeks it, and he is the judge. Truly, truly, I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he will never see death." The Jews said to him, "Now we know that you have a demon. Abraham died, as did the prophets. Yet you say, if anyone keeps my word, he will never taste death. Are you greater than our father Abraham, who died, and the prophets died? Who do you make yourself out to be?" Jesus answered, "If I glorify myself, my glory is nothing. It is my Father who glorifies me, of whom you say, 'He is our God.' But you have not known him. I know him. If I were to say that I do not know him, I would be a liar like you. But I do know him, and I keep his word. Your father Abraham rejoiced that he would see my day. He saw it and was glad." So the Jews said to him, "You are not yet 50 years old, and have you seen Abraham?" Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am." So they picked up stones to throw at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Christ.
We're seated now as the hymn of the day is sung. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our Advent focus on Isaiah 9 continues here this afternoon. Last week, the title Wonderful Counselor served as our focal point. And there, Jesus' amazing teachings were the demonstration of his great identity as the divine counselor, the one who is beyond comprehension, to us truly a miracle. He is able to speak with great power as true authority, and he is able to effect the very change that he so desires to make. As such a counselor, Christ Jesus, however, is easily dismissed and rejected. Many can see him as a great teacher, a man of wisdom, even of a great philosophy, but of nothing more. Unbelievers will not attribute his great wisdom to that of God and can seemingly part ways with Jesus without harm. This does not work nearly as well with tonight's focal point, the title of Mighty God. Previously in Isaiah chapter 7, the prophet Isaiah stated to King Ahaz, "The virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." Emmanuel translates as God with us. The prophecy of the son born to the virgin would be God in human flesh to dwell with his people. And this would be the child born to the people of God, upon whose shoulders the government would be placed. He would be Mighty God indeed. Both of these prophecies of Isaiah predict the coming of God in mortal human flesh, the event known as the Incarnation. And the Gospel of St. John is all about confirming this very reality. He states clearly, early on, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. The Word was present in the beginning. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word is God the Son, born of the Virgin, Emmanuel, God with us. As Jesus demonstrated his great identity as Wonderful Counselor through his holy teachings, so the Lord Jesus exhibits his title as Mighty God through his powerful works. Think of any of the long list of Jesus' great miracles, over 30 of them mentioned in the gospel texts: changing water into wine, 2 miraculous catches of fish, walking on the water, calming storms, healing the 10 lepers, giving sight to blind Bartimaeus, casting out demons, feeding the 5,000 and the 4,000, opening the ears of the deaf, giving the lame the ability to walk, even raising the dead to life. All are demonstrations of Jesus' great power as God in human flesh. Jesus often prayed to the Father before performing his miracles, yet he performed each of these great signs in his own power as the Word of God made flesh. To deny that Jesus Christ is God in the flesh has great consequences to the Christian faith. And this is why. First, to deny the Lord Jesus as God is to deny Jesus' own word concerning himself. We heard it stated in John chapter 8 that Jesus told the Jews who were questioning his own identity, informing them that Abraham from long ago knew all about the coming of God in the flesh and in the person of his son, Jesus. He even said that Abraham saw Jesus' own day and was glad. With hundreds of years separating Abraham from Jesus, the Jews denied Jesus' claim that he could have seen Abraham, and vice versa. Truly, truly, I say to you, Jesus said, before Abraham was, I am. The words in the Greek, ego eimi, translated from the Hebrew as Yahweh's name itself, I am who I am. The Jews figured it out. The Jews understood what Jesus was claiming, so much so that they did what the law required them to do. They picked up stones to throw at Jesus, to kill him for blasphemy. Jesus was claiming outright to being God. The Jews did the same again in John chapter 8. Our other gospel text for tonight, there Jesus was truly calling God his own Father, which was claiming to be the Son of God, which is claiming equality with God the Father. Second reason for the denial of Jesus being so detrimental to the Christian faith is that it destroys our salvation itself. The Savior of mankind from sin and from death can only be God himself. God's justice demands perfect payment for all sin, an equal payment for equal sin. One sin deserves the eternity away from God in his grace and his mercy, an eternity of punishment for violating God's perfection and his holiness. One sin causes man to be permanently imperfect, corrupted forever. With countless sins having been committed since Adam and Eve first fell, the burden of our sin is overwhelming indeed. Impossible for any of us to even begin to pay back. Only one who is almighty, only one who is unlimited himself can overcome the magnitude of our sin. And only God fits that description. Yet God, in his holy, perfect, divine nature, cannot die. He is life everlasting. Taking on the form of man solves that dilemma. God the Son humbles himself by taking on the form of a servant, our own flesh and blood, becoming one of us, bearing our sin to the tree of the cross. He can truly die. And that is what Jesus has done for all of us. God's Son, begotten from eternity in all power and in all might, takes on mortal human flesh, fully God and fully man at the same exact time. Not two different Christs, but one Christ. That is the right confession. That is the true identity of Jesus now because of his incarnation. That is his true identity for all of eternity. Fully God and fully man, that is Jesus even now, sitting at the right hand of God the Father in heaven, our own brother in the mortal human flesh, a fellow human being, lives and reigns with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God forever. We are therefore elevated, lifted up with the Lord Jesus Christ to his great position of power and of glory. That is why we shall inherit the heavens and the earth, new as Christ will make them. Jesus' inheritance as God's beloved Son is now ours because of our oneness with him, for he has come to us, made us one with him through baptism and through his own precious supper. Lastly, denying Jesus is God robs God of his great glory. It has so pleased our triune God to work out our salvation in this way. To him belongs all glory and praise and honor and majesty and might. To deny Jesus as God denies God himself. This places mankind in control of our own futures. And this is truly a grave error. For God did not create mankind in order to allow us to be free agents, to be free from him. That could only ever lead to our suffering and our torment. Rather, God has made us in his own image, to be like him, to be with him, as his own beloved people. Our mighty God has always so desired to care for us and for all of his creation. He is truly unlimited to give us all that we need without ever lacking. And that will be your reality with Christ our Lord forever. And to think that this is who was born of the Virgin and lying in a humble manger. He who is mighty God, King of creation, ruler of the entire universe, subjecting himself to the ultimate in humiliation, the creator of all things, becoming one with his creation. He who knew no sin, becoming sin for us. Jesus has done the unthinkable so that he can give us the unthinkable. He has sacrificed himself so that we can inherit his perfect kingdom. That is the true power of the mighty God, not to rule over anyone, which of course he certainly can do, but to provide for all of our needs of body and soul forever and ever. For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people, training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright, godly lives in the present age, waiting for our blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all lawlessness and to purify for himself a people for his own possession who are zealous for good works. What a joy and what a blessing it is to be under the care and protection of the mighty God, our Lord Jesus Christ, who grants you his grace, his forgiveness, his love, his care. All praise and honor thus be to Christ Jesus, our Lord, our mighty God, now and forever. Amen. The peace that does pass all of our human understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen. We stand to confess the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let us pray now for the whole Church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Open our eyes, dear Heavenly Father, that we may see all that you have done, By coming in the person of your Son and by his sacrifice for us, you have assured us that the worldly forces around us shall be a thing of the past when your Spirit ushers us into your eternal presence. Keep us steadfast in this comforting truth. Lord, in your mercy. Almighty God, we give thanks for the unity of faith that makes your church one mystical body of Christ, and for the partnership in the gospel we share with fellow congregations in the earthly fellowship of our synod. Keep us steadfast in your word of truth and the good news of life and salvation. Lord, in your mercy. Mighty God, we come to you in faith. Gracious Lord, trusting that you were and are God in the flesh, our Emmanuel. Strengthen all who are in distress from the worldly forces that surround them. Assure them of your presence, strengthen their faith, and lead them to your eternal kingdom, where we may all rejoice together in your love and grace. Lord, in your mercy. Almighty God, our King, whose eyes watch over the nations, we pray for those who rule and govern your people in this and every land. Make them faithful in their vocations as rulers and as your servants for justice. Lord, in your mercy. Almighty God and Father, you healed the sick and defeated death by the resurrection of your Son, our Lord. According to your gracious will, heal the sick and comfort the suffering, especially those we bring before you now in our hearts. Grant them restoration according to your will and the strengthening of faith no matter what they face. Lord, in your mercy. O God, from whom come all holy desires, all good counsels, and all just works, give to us, your servants, that peace which the world cannot give, that our hearts may be set to obey your commandments, and also that we, being defended from the fear of our enemies, may live in peace and quietness. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. You may be seated now as the tithes and offerings are collected.
Thank you.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, whose way John the Baptizer prepared, proclaiming him the promised Messiah, the very Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world, and calling sinners to repentance, that they might escape from the wrath to be revealed when he comes again in glory. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and say,
Holy, holy, holy Lord, Lord God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest, blessed is he who comes, the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest.
Blessed are you, Lord of heaven and earth, for you have had mercy on those whom you created, and sent your only begotten Son into our flesh to bear our sin and be our Savior. With repentant joy we receive the salvation accomplished for us by the all-availing sacrifice of his body and his blood on the cross. Gathered in the name and the remembrance of Jesus, we beg you, O Lord, to forgive, renew, and strengthen us with your word and spirit. Grant us faithfully to eat his body and drink his blood, as he bids us do in his own testament. Gather us together, we pray, from the ends of the earth, to celebrate with all the faithful the marriage feast of the Lamb in his kingdom, which has no end. Graciously receive our prayers. Deliver and preserve us. To you alone, O Father, be all glory, honor, and worship, with the Son and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. In the same way also he took the cup after supper. When he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me.
The peace of the Lord be with you always.
We stand to sing the post-communion canticle. Let us pray. O God, the Father, the fountain and source of all goodness, who in loving kindness sent your only begotten Son into the flesh, we thank you that for his sake you have given us pardon and peace in this sacrament. And we ask you not to forsake your children, but always to rule our hearts and minds by your Holy Spirit, that we may be enabled constantly to serve you. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.
We're seated as the closing hymn is sung.